You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Roto Experts. My name is Greg Sussman. To my left, as always, Wall Street Matt Modica. Behind me on this Christmas, it is our good buddy Al Melchior. This is our Roto Experts Fantasy Baseball Special, kind of going over all the news that, well, you may have missed and you wanted to know about here as we look forward at the turn of the year and get into baseball season. There's been a ton of transactions, a bunch of trades, plenty more to come. This is kind of the earlier version of this. As we get into January, every day we'll be talking more about baseball. I know, Matt Modica, you're looking forward to that.
I'm looking very forward to it. Excited that the season is inching ever closer. One more day is one day closer to baseball.
And Al Melchior, I know you never stopped paying attention to baseball. You haven't stopped reading what's going on and just following along. And I'm sure you're excited to get a chance to be back on the air and start doing this every day again.
I am. So this is, I don't know if that's spring training yet, but you know, I'm getting in the best shape of my life right now.
He's in the best shape of his life. John Heyman's reported that there's a mystery team trying to sign Al Melchior, but from my understanding, the reports, they're not true. He's going to stay right where he is and talk a lot of baseball with us. So what we're going to do over the next 2 hours here on the Roto Experts program, we are going to go over all the major trades that have happened here thus far this offseason. We're going to go over all the major signings here thus far that have happened this offseason. We're going to try to stay away from speculating on people where they could wind up if they haven't signed yet because, listen, it may happen already. So I don't want to speculate too far on what's to come and try to play some guesswork. I want to try to play guesswork with what we know, with some of these trades that have gone down, and we can use our best speculation now. I think that makes a lot more sense. I think that'll help the listener, it'll help the viewer, and it will ultimately help people win fantasy championships. Matt, we talk a lot about in football. We literally start in the draft. The draft's at the end of April. You said you had your first competitive football draft in May. Baseball season's here. It's the end of December. Are you drafting for baseball yet?
Yes, I do my first draft at the First Pitch Arizona the first weekend of November. I am on my second NFBC Draft Champions 50 rounds draft and hold style. So, yeah, I'm just ready. But unlike Al, I'm in the worst shape of my life.
And ultimately, how many drafts will you wind up doing this year?
With Fab, I'm trying to keep it probably to that half a dozen. With the draft champion style, that could be like 10 or so.
It's endless. It's endless for the draft champion style, where you just draft and you hold and you see what happens. But I think it's always really cool for you to do these drafts in November, mm-hmm. Whether it's draft champions or whether it's your first real draft, and then do it at the end of March and see what changes, because so much changes. All these signings, all these trades. And over the next 2 hours, we'll give you the update from where we are now. So when we come back, we will look at the destruction and the dismembering of the Miami Marlins. It didn't matter who's in charge. Wayne Huizenga, Jeffrey Lurie, or Derek Jeter, they are done. We'll talk about it next.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock daily fantasy sports.
This offseason has been dominated by the fact that the Miami Marlins have taken everything down. They have crumbled it all. We saw it in 1998 after they won the World Series in 97. We saw it in 2004 after they won the World Series in 2003. And, well, while we didn't really see it in later years, we see it now, even though they didn't win the World Series. Al, the trend has been broken. Now they just broke it down when they changed owners here. They've gone from Wayne Huizenga to Jeffrey Luria, and now Derek Jeter and Bruce Sherman, and they have traded away seemingly everybody. Not everybody, we'll talk about that in a moment, but everybody with monster value is available if they haven't been shipped out already. None bigger than the biggest fish, see what I did there, in Giancarlo Stanton. Stanton, who was given a full no-trade clause just a few seasons ago, signed a $325 million contract to be a Marlin for life. That lasted less than 4 years. He is now a member of the New York Yankees. The Marlins agreed to a deal with both the Giants and the Cubs. Stanton sat down with both of them and was like, I'm good. And decided between he told the Marlins, Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, Astros. Maybe not so coincidentally, those are the final four teams that were left this year. Those are the four biggest markets in the country. Giancarlo Stanton wanted to get to go where he wanted to go. And then it happened. Derek Jeter trades Stanton to his old team in exchange for Starlin Castro and two A-level prospects. What was your thoughts initially, and now a few weeks later, here on the trade of Stanton to New York, Al?
Well, I know we're not on network TV. I don't think I can really say exactly what my initial thoughts
were. Say whatever you want, man. Well, we can bleep it out.
I'll leave it to the imagination. But look, they've got to do this teardown. I have no problem with them trading Stanton. I'm not sure why they couldn't have waited around, maybe till the middle of the season to see if they could get a better deal, because it's hard for me to imagine that they could have gotten a worse deal than what they got from the Yankees or what they might have gotten from the Dodgers. And apparently that was going to be an even worse deal. But, it doesn't quite add up. I understand that the Marlins were sort of cornered, especially with Stanton rejecting those two trades that were in place with the Cardinals and Giants. But, to give as much of a generous look on this as I can, let's see what they do with the salary that they're going to save. And I don't think it's going to be mostly right now. This is going to be a process of a year or two at least, where we'll see how they leverage those savings. But for 2018, yeah, there's not much out of this deal that's going to help them.
And Al, I know you're a Marlins fan, right?
That's always up for evaluation. I'd say today I'm not.
So as a Marlins fan, we're going to spend a lot of time here in the first hour about the Marlins. As a Marlins fan, you see these new owners come in with all this promise. Within a week, they're asking for more money from investors again. How do you do it?
Like I said, I'm not really doing it. I every time that the Marlins do something like this, and the thing is, as a Marlins fan, any Marlins fan knows, you have a lot of practice with dealing with these sorts of things. they've changed the broadcasters. I liked watching the broadcast. So it's getting tougher and tougher to really be a fan of the team.
Yeah, it is getting tougher. They got rid of all the legends in the front office. Not legends, but people like Jeff Conine, who've been Mr. Marlin, if you will. And Jeter's cleaned house, and they're saving money and cutting corners. Stanton goes to the Yankees here, Matt, and he's now batting in a lineup with Aaron Judge, who really looks like a twin. Gary Sanchez, Didi Gregorius, and the rest of the guys, Greg Bird, in New York. What does this do to that Yankee lineup?
Well, the first time I went to the Arizona Fall League, it was like 4 years ago, and I saw Aaron Judge there, mm-hmm. and he looked like Mike Stanton. I mean,
Giancarlo Stanton. Well, he looked like Mike Stanton before because he wasn't Giancarlo yet. So there you go. Was.
But then he kind of looked like him in a Yankees uniform. But I blame this all on the Dodgers. The Dodgers could have had Stanton. Stanton really, I think that was his main destination, being from Los Angeles. The other factors here, one, maybe this ownership group shouldn't have been allowed to buy the team, number one. Maybe they don't have enough capital, or it's going to be one of these things where I'm with Al. You want to trade Stanton? I'm fine with that, the way they went about it. And so they did it so immediately, and it had to be done in like this tight time frame. It was, they were basically saying, just buy him from us, give us money, and you don't have to give us any prospects. which, and then Jeter threatened him that if he didn't accept the trade, he'd be a Marlin for life. He called his bluff, and he ended up on the Yankees, so he was the winner.
Yeah, he was absolutely the winner in this one, as Stan called his bluff, and it worked. But you're right. If you didn't have the ability to pay these guys, and I understand long-term Giancarlo Stanton may not be right for your organization. It just costs too much money. I get that. I do. But to have to trade him within like 2 weeks of buying the organization and to trade everybody away who we're going to get to throughout the show here, that's ridiculous.
It's like Al says, I'm totally on board with him. It's, you know, it's very disheartening being a fan. He's saying he has a lot of practice. I'm a Mets fan, a team in New York, and they pretty much operate a step above the Marlins right now. They don't know what they can, they don't even know how much money they have. It's really disheartening as a fan, and for what they got back for Stanton. I mean, at least get one, like, really super
top-level prospect.
You know, so, one, so, especially with everything the Yankees have.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. You have to get – the Yankees have one of, if not the best, farm systems in all of baseball, and to not get really a top-10 prospect from them, it's kind of crazy, Al.
Well, it absolutely is. You know, I figured maybe they'd walk away with Esteban Florial or somebody, yep, you know, a little bit higher up in the rankings. But, yeah, no, it is what it is. And also, I don't think we've really talked about Starlin Castro here. If the Marlins kept him, I mean, he would be a fairly valuable piece. But I don't expect that the Marlins will suit up Castro come opening day.
Yeah, and the Yankees might actually get a better return trading Castro than they did for Stanton, which is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling. But let's look at Stanton from a fantasy perspective here. Al, in this Yankees lineup, how much better can he be than he was in Miami? Because, listen, he was the league MVP last year. He hit almost 60 home runs. How much better, if at all, can he be in Yankee Stadium?
Honestly, I don't think he can be that much better. And that's certainly no slap against Yankee Stadium or the team, because there's going to be a ton of run producing opportunities. It's a fantastic park. It's a division with, aside from Tampa, has a bunch of great parks for Stanton to hit in. But I just don't know how he can top what he did with the Marlins. His power supersedes any sort of park factor. If he can, you know, challenge the 60 homer threshold as a Marlin, I mean, he can do that for any team, and maybe he gets a few additional homers hitting in the AL East and hitting in Yankee Stadium. And as far as run production, it's hard to top what he did last year. And the Marlins were not a bad offensive team last year, not as good as the Yankees, not as good as they were, not as good as they're going to be with Stanton in that lineup. But I'm expecting sort of a lateral move, which means, yeah, he could be an MVP again this year.
Where is he going in early drafts? Where are you seeing Giancarlo Stanton go?
I think he's going around that 9-10 range now. He's pretty much solidifying there. You'll see one or two people will take him, maybe top five. I don't have a problem with him going anywhere in the first round. I think that's fine. And I'm in agreement with Al. I mean, how much he can't really do any better than he did last year.
Right.
I mean, 123 runs, 132 RBIs. I mean, where is the up? He's not going above that. And this is, he has two seasons of what? Last year was his third season of 600 plus at bats. And I was the guy that drafted him everywhere last year due to his price. I kept hearing he's an injury risk. Look, those were mostly fluke injuries. But, I mean, I don't mind people drafting him in the first round. It's just your expectations have to. And I think Steamer is being quite generous. Steamer's usually a conservative. I mean, what more can the guy do than he did last year? Which, if you get anything near that, you get 90% of that, you're fine with it, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And the only reason he wouldn't be a first-round pick previously was because of the injuries, right? Like, mm-hmm. You were nervous about these injuries, but as Matt points out, a lot of them are fluky, right? Like, getting hit in the face is not really his fault. It's not a recurring hamstring injury that it's been with Stanton. And I think we saw him healthy in 2017. If it continues 2018, he will bring back that first round of value this year.
Yeah, let me just say one more thing. Like, I have no problem taking Stanton in the first round. Aaron Judge, on the other hand, I will not draft in the first round anyway.
Why is that?
I think he's more of a 250 type hitter. And look, that first half, I don't think he'll ever come anything close to that in his career. The power is real. I don't think the batting average is real. I'll take other players in that spot.
Yeah, I think the power, for me, I think the power is real. I agree with you. The average is probably close to 250 where we saw in the second half. But as we know, when he gets hot, there's not many people hotter, or he can hit the ball farther than Aaron Judge, although maybe one of them could be. his new teammate, Giancarlo Stanton. Where is Thorin Kasher going in drafts right now, Matt?
You know what? I'll check that out. I'll pull it up for you during the break.
Speaking of second baseman like Thorin Kasher, when we come back, we're going to talk about the second baseman the Marlins just traded away. And that's D. Gordon to Seattle, where he's probably not playing second base anymore. The guys will discuss D. Gordon's value and what he's going to be like in Seattle, as well as Marcell Ozuna and how he'll react to being in St. Louis. The dismembering of the Miami Marlins. The conversation continues right after this.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Back with you, Roto Experts Fantasy Baseball Preview episode. Matt Modica, Al Melchior with you here. Before we went to break, we were talking about the Giancarlo Stanton trade. The other side was Thorin Kasher. Where's he currently going in drafts, Matt?
The two NFBC drafts I've done, he's gone in the 15th round and the 18th round. Personally, I'd love to see him come to the Mets. I think that's a great fit.
Yeah.
I just fear the Mets will probably give up a top prospect for him.
Yeah, you know, probably so, knowing that's the Mets. As I said, one second baseman to the Marlins, another second baseman gone. The first trade that the Marlins had this offseason was D. Gordon headed out to Seattle to go play for the Mariners. And Al, I thought this was a bit of a weird fit because there is no clear second base option because Robinson Cano is entrenched there. At shortstop, D. Gordon's former position, Jeanne Segura is pretty entrenched there. Where's D. Gordon playing?
How about center field? that is apparently where he's going, and that's really the only place where he can go. I mean, there was just a little bit of speculation initially that maybe they'd shift Cano to first, but that didn't make a whole lot of sense because the Mariners just got Ryan Healy to play first base. I mean, you never know when Jerry DePoto's going to pull the trigger on another trade, but it does look like D. Gordon's going to play center, and if you recall when the Marlins got him, that was another positional transition for Gordon, where he'd been a shortstop for the Dodgers. He worked really, really hard on his second base defense. So I think he'll be absolutely fine as the center fielder. He's just going to have to put in the work. And I don't really expect that we're going to see defensive problems or problems at the plate that might relate from defensive adjustment.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The fact that when players are adjusting defensively, it takes a toll at the plate. They're not all there. They're thinking about an error. They're thinking about the next play potentially hit at them. I totally agree. It all changes. So, D. Gordon in Seattle, what does that do to his fantasy value? He's going to hit at the top of the lineup, either behind or in front of Jeanne Segura, both, of course, in front of Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, Kyle Seager. What does that do to his fantasy value from where it was, Matt?
Look, he's going to give him outfield eligibility after, say, whatever it is, 10, 20 games, depending upon your league. I like the top of the lineup. I mean, just keep adding the speed, putting pressure on the other team. You have Cano. You have Nelson Cruz, who's like the ageless wonder. I still like Cruz this year. I think, you know, see, I'll wait. If I can get Cruz in the fourth round, middle of the third round, I'm totally fine with that. I know he's getting up there in years, but he still continually gets it done. And then you got like Seager, who nobody really loves, but is just consistently solid year in and year out. My problem here with the Mariners is they need some pitching. That's why they really needed to get Ohtani, who I'm sure we'll talk about at some point. But they really needed him. As much as I love James Paxton, and I was all in last year, and I was willing to pay up, even as the draft season, yep, he got higher and higher. This year, I'm not really looking to pay for his price. And it's not even so much if 150 innings isn't the issue anymore. It's just I'm just scared he's really going to get hurt, and I can't pay a premium price for that.
Yeah, and that's the James Paxton price. How do you think, Al, D. Gordon's numbers will change going from Miami to Seattle?
I'm guessing they probably don't change all that much because, as we had talked about earlier in the show, Marlins had a pretty good lineup last year. So, obviously, much better value in Seattle in 2018 than Miami in 2018. But compared to what he provided for fantasy owners last season, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of difference. I mean, he'll be up at the top of the order with Segura. Gordon will score runs, but again, he did that with the Marlins. I have a slight worry about the stolen bases playing for Scott Servais, because if you look at what happened with Segura and with Jerrod Dyson last year, Servais was a little less aggressive with those two speedsters than their prior managers had been. Now, granted, we're talking about Ned Yost in the case of Dyson. We're talking about Chip Hale in the case of Segura, and they're both have been very aggressive. So, again, I think it's, you know, in terms of the stolen bases, probably a lateral move. In terms of everything else, I think probably the same.
All right, so, of course, the stolen base is the important thing when it comes to D. Gordon, which is why he was going as early as the second round last year in fantasy baseball drafts, because of how valuable that category is. If it's going to go down even a little bit, I think that does you do have to adjust his fantasy value there.
Yeah, but he's still going to be highly sought after, because there's two things you're going to hear repeatedly now through when draft season ends, is that speed is a premium asset that you must acquire, which is true. But, you know, anybody that's been watching baseball, following baseball, knows this. And last year you saw the trend with pitching. The starting pitchers that pitched above 200 is, like, in my opinion, 220 is the new 200. 180 is the new 200. And guys that, if you get 150 innings out of your starting pitcher, that's not terrible anymore. I'm willing to sign up for that. As long as I get the ratios and everything else, I can fill in, you know, with other streamers here and there. So, you know, for me, I think he's still, from what I'm saying, at worst, he's a third-round pick.
And that's at worst. What about his ex-teammate, Marcell Ozuna, who, of course, immediately following the Stanton D. Gordon trades, no, we're done. We're not trading Yelich. We're not trading Ozuna. There goes Ozuna, immediately goes over the St. Louis Cardinals, and he had a feeling the Cardinals would wind up doing something with the Marlins because they were so far down the road with the Stanton trade. They already know each other's systems well enough. So Marcell Ozuna almost immediately gets traded to the St. Louis Cardinals. Al, as a Marlins fan, what did you think of that deal, and what does this do to Ozuna's value?
Well, it's a step in the right direction. They got a better haul for Ozuna. I know, very, very low bar that's been set there with the Stanton trade. But I like Sandy Alcantara. I think he'll be in the Marlins rotation probably, I would expect, for the bulk of 2018. I think Magnus Sierra, I'm really less excited about him than Alcantara, but he could be a stolen base source. I think he'll see a good amount of playing time, if not in April, you know, maybe by, say, you know, June or July. And a couple of minor league pitchers that it might factor in late season, but, long term, I think probably, you know, deep leaguers. But, like I said, a better haul, still slightly disappointing for what you would think they would get for Ozuna coming off of an enormous breakout season.
Yeah, and I think Al nailed it on the head. He had a tweet like a week or two ago, I forget, where basically Ozuna's outlook for 2018 and how, you know, it was a breakout and an awesome season. And I still think he'll be good, but I think I nailed it on the head. More like, say, maybe 28 homers, a 280-type hitter, stuff like that, as opposed to last year with the 37 homers or something like that.
37 homers, 93 runs score, and 124 ribbies.
But, I mean, for me, I think the loser out of this was the San Francisco Giants. Not getting Ozuna, not getting Piscotty. Look, I mean, take a shot on Piscotty. The kid 2 years ago was, you know, everybody seemed to really like him.
We'll get to Piscotty coming up in a little bit. But when it comes to Ozuna, you brought up his BABIP. Last year, .355 batting average of balls in play. That was a career high for him. His K percentage was up slightly. His walk percentage is actually higher than ever. Al, this is Ozuna was a guy that, let's not forget, went from being starting every day, he's supposed to be a star, shipped to the minors just a couple of years ago because it wasn't working, comes back last year and has this career year where he was just fantastic, finishing with that .312 average and a .376 on base. What are we expecting in St. Louis? How much will that change?
Yeah, I think it'll change quite a bit. The numbers that Matt cited, those are really right in line with what I'm expecting too, a batting average. I'd say probably no higher than .280 because you mentioned the BABIP. And some hitters like a Starling Marte, for example, with a lot of line drives, not a lot of pop-ups, they're perennial, and plus the speed that Marte has, you know, they're perennial high BABIP guys. I don't see that with Ozuna. He's not exceptionally speedy. He doesn't have the batted ball profile that screams .350 BABIP or even necessarily .320 or .330 BABIP. So I think we're going to see a lot of batting average regression. from him. And I think we're going to see some power regression too, because when you look at the StatCast data in terms of, you know, exit velocity and fly ball distance, all that sort of thing, he looks like a very good power hitter, not a guy who's going to be in the 35 to 40 homer range unless he takes that power up a notch, which, again, we can't really assume for 2018.
Where is he going, Matt, in draft, Marcelo Ozuna, right now?
I think it's kind of like fourth, fifth round, if I'm correct.
And how do you feel about that?
I mean, at that point, I want a second pitcher.
Okay.
I think in the leagues I play, it's mainly 15-teamers. So if I'm picking late first round, I'm more than happy to grab a Corey Kluber or Chris Sale,
right,
like in that range. But if not, that third round, I got to grab a Jacob DeGrom type, a Carrasco, Severino. Those are the guys that I'm really targeting. But if I have, say, two pitchers or something and I need the power, I'm kind of with Al. I think he's more of a 280 kind of guy, or 285, say.
Nothing wrong with that, though.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with 30 homers. But I feel I'll settle later on for the 270 guy that can hit me 30 homers as well. I'm looking in my drafts to get as many guys that either have the 2020 or the potential of the 2020. I'm trying to get speed. I don't want to pay for a D. Gordon, but I want to accumulate speed with other players that can give me home runs and speed.
Al, the big two that are left in Miami are JT Realmuto and Christian Yelich. Do you believe that either of them will be traded?
The word is that they're not looking to trade Yelich. And of course, you know, very recently JT Realmuto has let the organization know he wants to be traded. I think it's a smart thing to do, but that's not what you asked me. It's a new regime. So I don't honestly know. I'm really hoping that they get traded, both from a fantasy perspective and a semi-Marlins fan perspective. But it just makes too much sense for the Marlins to trade them. So I hope they will. And there's a part of me that thinks that they'll change their mind. They'll get some good offers, and they'll flip the switch on both of them.
Obviously, Yelich and Realmuto want out of Miami. They want nothing to do with this rebuild. I assume that you might as well trade, and there's no reason to hold on to anybody that has value.
That's the guy I'd really be going hard after if I'm a team. It's Christian Yelich.
Oh, Yelich, okay.
Yeah, I just really love this kid. I love it. Look, he doesn't have to be a super, superstar. Like, he doesn't have the power of some other players, but this is a hitter. This guy can hit, and if you put him in a good lineup, he's really going to excel.
Are there any Marlins you want to own this year, Matt?
I don't think there's going to be. Cause I don't think there's going to come when they go on the opening day. I don't think the players you want are going to be on this team.
Probably not. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, Matt mentioned a little while ago the Steven Piscotty trade. We'll talk about that and some of the other trades that have happened thus far this offseason. We'll do that all during hour number one here on a Roto Experts Fantasy Baseball Preview Show here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you sad like a little puppy? Because the Lineup Luck Show, brought to you by DailyRoto.com, is now doing the NBA 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Don't be sad. I got Scooby Snacks for you. That's right. DFS Today, brought to you by DailyRoto.com on iTunes. You get DFS information every day. Fantasy football, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. Subscribe to DFS Today, brought to you by DailyRoto.com on iTunes.
Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Baseball, preview edition of the program. Al Melchior is here, Wall Street Matt Modica here as well. And Matt, a few moments ago, you brought up Steven Piscotty. And we talked about Marcelo Ozuna being traded away to St. Louis and how St. Louis didn't respond by trading Piscotty away from Oakland. And that was really interesting because Piscotty was only traded, so we believe, only traded from St. Louis to Oakland due to how sick his mother was. You're questioning that.
I think that was a consideration.
Okay.
And I don't know how the Giants weren't involved in Ozuna or Piscotty. At least get one of them. This is the team that's desperate for corner outfield help. Look, it worked out. I'm sure they fielded a few offers. Maybe that was the side. They leaned a little more towards that, all things being equal. It winds up being a very good story, and I'm happy to see him go there with his mom recently being diagnosed with ALS.
Yep.
But I don't think that was like, you know, they like, look, we have to send him here. It's still a business. It worked out for them. And like I said, I'm kind of confused how the San Francisco Giants, okay, I can see them not getting Stanton because he didn't want to go there. But Ozuna and Piscotty were both gettable assets that they could have gotten.
Yeah, they could have. And I find it interesting, Piscotty heads on over to Oakland. And there's a kind of a two-part question I have here. You liked him rebounding a bit. You thought his value was depressed a bit in the drafts thus far.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've never been a real big someone super high on Piscotty.
Okay.
Last year, I wasn't a guy I was targeting. Not that I didn't like him. I thought he was going too high. If he would have went a little further down. But now, all of a sudden, he's like totally off the radar, and people really don't seem to want him. It's like with anything in fantasy, baseball, football, whichever one you play, you have one bad year. And unless you've had a consistent track record, it's kind of like you have the plague. People run from you. But, you know, he's going to play every day in Oakland. Now, the one thing you got to consider, if his mom is sick, will this play a toll on him mentally?
So I'm really glad you brought that up, because, Al, I wanted to throw this over to you. We always forget, like, the mental part of baseball. We're so just driven by all these statistics that we ignore the mental part. And I always go back to Gene Segura from a few years ago. This kid's obviously very, very talented. He has his breakout year in Milwaukee, and then I believe he has the death of his son, and it really took a massive toll on him, and fantasy owners ignored it. It was like, wow, this dude had a terrible year. He was like fluke. He had a bad second half the year before, a brutal year this year, and then he gets traded in Arizona, and his value is entirely depressed. And of course, he just comes up huge, and he was just fantastic for the D-backs before getting traded over to the Mariners. And he has said very point-blankly, like, my head wasn't in it. I was not thinking about baseball. I was thinking about my family. Is there a chance this could affect Stephen Piscotty in the same way?
Well, I think it could. And, I mean, you can look at two aspects of it. And one is that he is closer to his mother now geographically. So he's not going to be doing, you know, all sorts of, you know, flying back and forth and you know, the stress of just not being there and, you know, not being maybe not knowing exactly what's going on. It reminds me, you mentioned Gene Segura. I remember a situation a few years back with Mike Fiers. And, you know, we might sort of, you know, poo-poo him as a fantasy pitcher. But, you know, a few years back, he was quite good. And but he had sort of an off year, and it was a very similar situation where he was flying all over the country to balance, you know, pitching for the Brewers and then taking care of a sick mother. So, you know, I think just the travel aspect of that alone and the distance is something that probably hurt Piscotty a lot last year. And that aspect of it has been addressed. But like you said, I mean, there's still the day-to-day stress of the situation. So, you know, maybe he doesn't make a full rebound. I mean, it's so hard to tease apart, you know, all these different factors.
Yeah, and another player, like a comp I'll give, is that year Prince Fielder had a terrible year when he was going through a divorce.
Yep.
So when you have these things, even though, like I said, it is better that he's closer to his mother. But, I mean, God forbid she takes a turn for the worse.
Sure.
That's, you know, it's just human nature. So, but I think the A's made a good move in acquiring him. He's, you know, this is a young player who, and look, the Cardinals a couple of years ago were pretty high on this kid.
Really high on this kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they weren't just looking, they soured on him and they saw an opportunity to move him. They got Ozuna, a guy that they have more hopes for now, and it happened to work out.
Looking at the BABIP last year for Piscotty, it was 286. That's lower than it has been in his entire career. He walked seemingly less than he has in years past. The OBP was pretty in line with 2016, which I found kind of interesting, but the slugging was significantly down.
Yeah, but like his plate discipline actually got better. As far as the walk percentage, that went up. The strikeout percentage pretty much the same, maybe went up a point or so. But I think this is just a young kid dealing with a lot last year.
Sure.
And, you know, the change of scenery, he'll get to play every day out in Oakland. So, you know, good for him.
If you look across the board, the home run to fly ball ratio, that was lower than it was in 2016. He simply hit more ground balls, I believe, than he did in 2016 as well. Yeah, I mean, it was almost 50% of the balls that he hit wound up being a ground ball. I think Piscotty over in Oakland, closer to his mother, and hopefully with a clear mind, he's due for a rebound. Although that stadium in Oakland does scare me a little bit, Al.
Yeah, it does. That you look last year at you know, all the players, like, you know, Chris Davis, Matt Joyce, Matt Olson, Chad Pinder. Everybody seemed to be hitting home runs for the A's last year. So I don't worry about that too much. You know, maybe for Piscotty, it's a little bit more of a dampener because, you know, maybe he is just a 20 to 25 homer hitter at best. But, you know, if he put up those kinds of numbers at Busch Stadium 2 years ago, which is also a pretty tough park to homer in. So I'd say the park factor is something that's really way down on the list for me.
Another trade that happened here thus far in the offseason was an interesting trade between the Braves and the Dodgers, which saw the reunion of Matt Kemp going home to L.A. For Matt Kemp, L.A. basically just traded away salary. Adrian Gonzalez, Scott Kazmir, Brandon McCarthy, and then throwing in Charlie Culberson as well. What was this trade all about, Al?
Swapping debt. You know, the Braves were trading salary too. So, in fact, with Kemp, they got a longer term salary obligation off of their deck. And you know, there's also there's been something made of Ronald Acuna getting a better opportunity now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's really true. I don't know who was going to block his way going into the season, but it's certainly a nice dilemma that the Braves are spared. But yeah, they shed some longer term salary. The Dodgers cleared a whole bunch of payroll for 2018, and it gives both teams more flexibility.
Yeah, I mean, it could, though Kemp, I think last year versus the lefties, didn't do as well as I would have assumed, but it could set up a platoon with Kemp and Jacques Peterson. Unless Peterson can turn that corner, which I think the Dodgers are really hoping that this kid can do. You saw him in the postseason. He was hitting home runs and stuff, and, you know, he's still a young player. The thing with Acuna is, I think he's not coming up regardless till like the end of April at the earliest.
Sure.
Whatever it is, that 2.5 week window, like the Chris Bryant thing, there's no way they're going to put him up there. Maybe it's later, but I think this kid's ready. I think the Braves, they opened the new ballpark last year. They want to keep the interest, and this kid will keep the interest. I mean, I saw him in the Arizona Fall League, and he seemed disinterested, and he was by far and away the best player there. He was a man amongst boys.
Adrian Gonzalez only accepted this trade to Atlanta knowing that he was going to get cut. So we'll see if Agon could rebound from his injury-plagued 2017. Really, over the last couple of years, he's been relatively injury-plagued. Do we think Matt Kemp, Al, could have value in going home, I don't want to say home, but going back to L.A.? We had some really good years. He had some really bad years when he was dating Rihanna, and then eventually gets traded away. And Matt and I were talking during lunch today, and we're like, hey, a Matt Kemp, Jock Peterson platoon, I kind of like that.
Yeah, that could be one solution there. I mean, there still seems like the Dodgers always have an outfield logjam. I think Kemp's at the stage of his career where, you know, maybe it's a platoon role. You know, maybe he's in a rotation there. So I wouldn't be looking to draft Matt Kemp. But, you know, he's come back before. He's had, a lot of ups and downs in his career. So I'm not totally writing him off. But I have enough doubt that it would have to be a pretty deep league for me to actually use a draft pick on him.
Matt, is Chris Taylor going to play every day?
He's going to be given every opportunity to do it. I believe in him. I think the adjustments are real. Will he have some pullback from last year? Yeah, yes. But I think this is, you know, a 15-15 guy. You know, as long as he can get on base with this lineup, he's going to have value. And I think he's got shortstop and outfield eligibility, so that's a nice thing to have as well.
Yeah, that's great to have all of that eligibility around the diamond. One last note here on the Dodgers, Al. I am kind of surprised that they haven't really gone all in or after or really even been connected to Yu Darvish. I get what the two World Series games are. As we get farther and farther away from that World Series, though, you remember how good Yu Darvish was the rest of the playoffs and that second half since the trade to the Dodgers. Looking at their rotation at the moment, they need a guy like Yu Darvish.
They do, and maybe this payroll purge is something that's going to allow them to pursue Darvish, or, you know, maybe Jake Arrieta. I personally would rather see them go after Darvish. I think that would make more sense. I think he's going to be the better pitcher in 2018. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, it is a little bit surprising that we haven't heard more on that front.
Hey, Al, how about Darvish to the Angels? That's what I'd like to see. I mean, not just because Ohtani's there and the Japanese connection. I just think it's a great park. He's familiar with the NL West also, and I'm in agreement. I think, you know, that World Series with the slippery ball, if he doesn't have his breaking pitches, he's not the same guy.
Yeah, the ball was clearly slippery. We heard it from Clayton Kershaw. We heard it from a bunch of other players as well throughout that series. So I agree. I don't hate the Angels now.
No, I really like the Angels right now. I like what they've done, and I just sort of laughed, Matt, when you said that because. you know, because the Angels should get everybody.
You know, they're building a hell of an infield.
Yeah.
They're an amazing infield, and it's going to do wonders for whoever pitches for them. Infield and outfield, mm-hmm. Look pretty good. So, that would be pretty fun to see Yu Darvish in Anaheim.
We will get all into the Angels coming up in a little bit during hour number two. When we return, one last trade to talk about with you before we wrap up the hour, including another reunion. We explain right after this. Come to Sports Grid for a serious, offbeat look at the not-so-serious side of sports. From sports rumors to pop culture to fantasy, Sports Grid will keep you up to date and keep you laughing. With you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And there was one last trade we wanted to get to, one last reunion, if you will. And that was the San Diego Chase Headley reunion. As Headley heads back to San Diego, where it all began for him as the star third baseman, he heads back to San Diego as basically they accept Chase Headley in return for buying Brian Mitchell in a trade for somebody named or something named Jabari Blash. Just kidding, I know who Jabari Blash is. What'd you think of this trade here, Al?
I don't think there's really much to it from a fantasy perspective. I think probably the main thing is who now can, play third base for the Yankees. In terms of Headley himself, I don't think he'll be long for San Diego. The word is that they're going to try to flip him. Jabari Blash, he's a fun player. He's got a ton of power. He's an all or nothing type hitter. It'd be great to see him get a little bit of time in Yankee Stadium and hear that John Sterling home run call. But aside from that, I don't see a lot of fantasy impact here.
Yeah, you have to think San Diego saw something in Mitchell that they really, really like. That was part of the price to take on Headley, which I'm sure they're going to flip at some point to somebody. But look, for me, he's as a mixed league pitcher, he's not really on my radar. In what I'm doing right now, like in a draft and hold style thing, yeah, I'll take a shot on him, and then see if it pans out because the Padres do seem pretty high on him.
Yeah, they really like Brian Mitchell, and they thought a change of scenery to a bigger ballpark and in the National League, giving him a chance to start potentially, was obviously a really good spot. Chase Headley was just accepting the contract back. And hey, you put him in the middle of the lineup with Will Myers back in San Diego, away from the pressure of New York. There could be value with Chase Headley. There were times last year where Chase Headley was absolutely ownable on fantasy teams.
Yeah, the first 2 weeks of the season.
Right. He's pretty good. And then Jabari Blash, who, by the way, I believe I drafted him last year because my partner made us, and we drafted him before I was allowed to drop him.
I'd like to see him play in Colorado. I mean, that would be fun.
Well, I'll tell you this. He's not going to be in New York. He was literally only traded because they're not allowed to trade two players for nothing. So he was traded. I believe he's not guaranteed a 40-man roster spot by any means. So Jabari Blash heads over to the Yankees. Chase Headley, Brian Mitchell head to San Diego to play with the Padres. And I know we said we wouldn't talk about this, but Al, it certainly seems like Eric Hosmer and San Diego have been working circles around each other, which is really interesting to me because they have a first base. His name is Will Myers, and he's been a lot better at first base than he's been in the outfield.
Yeah, it is a little bit of a weird fit, but if you have an opportunity to add a bat like Hosmer's to the Padres lineup, it's an upgrade. Myers says he's willing to play in the outfield. The Padres, they're not an offensive juggernaut by any means. In fact, for most of last year, they were the exact opposite. And yet they've got some interesting outfielders. I mean, they've already got Manny Margot up, Franchy Cordero I'd like to see crack that starting outfield. So Eric Hosmer could put the kibosh on some of those younger players getting a chance. But I can't blame the Padres for trying to make that move.
Yeah, all I really care, my main concern with the Padres this year from a fantasy thing is Manny Margot. I'm expecting a big year from Manny Margot. We're expecting some improvement. Say a 15-30. I think the speed we haven't seen on the major league level that he can produce. So, look, if Will Myers has to go to the outfield and they get... Look, they got Galvis, who is a nice piece for this season. You know, they got Fernando Tatis Jr., who's they're very high on and stuff. But look, Hosmer... I know we killed him in fantasy for saying he always hits these ground balls, but now the way the home run ball works in baseball, he probably is going to hit 25 home runs again. He'll probably be a circa 300 hitter. So you need to score runs in this league. So I think, hey, it's a good move.
Coming up later on in the show, we'll talk about another team that, well, they actually signed a first baseman despite already having one. We're going to see how that works out in regards to Carlos Santana signing with the Philadelphia Phillies and what that does to Rhys Hoskins, who came on majorly strong the second half of the year. So we'll talk about that. But when we come back, we're going to reset it here at the top of the hour. We take a break, and we're getting to Ohtani and the Angels. Stick around. We are the Roto Experts. This is your fantasy baseball preview, and we'll be back right after this.